Tomorrow now is, you know, it's the Labor Day holiday. It's a day when a lot of people are coming back into town, whether they are driving, whether they are flying. The Kennedy is a huge thoroughfare, especially up where it merges off. And you can head to Rockford, you can head to Wisconsin, you can head right into the airport between Cumberland and East River Road. That is where the protest march is supposed to take place tomorrow, starting at noon. I had a chance on Friday to talk with the Reverend Gregory Livingston of New Hope Baptist Church in West Humboldt Park. He's organizing this march. You know, the big questions, why do we keep having to have these protest marches? And I will tell you at the outset that I am for people protesting. Protests are supposed to be disruptive. And that's, you know, that's what this is going to be. Now, how disruptive will it be? I don't know. It depends on how many people come. Now, the Reverend said about 100 people is all he thinks it'll take to block off all the lanes. We'll see. Of course, the state police are saying, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. But that's what they're supposed to say. The mayor is pushing back hard on this, saying that, you know, if part of the march is not only to call attention to all the gun violence in the city, but some other inequities, according to the organizers, and a lot of them being economic, that to block off an economic hub like the airport goes against what should be happening. So we'll open this up, and if you have any thoughts, you're welcome to share them. 312-981-7200. I'm all for it. I may not agree with everything that the marchers are trying for. Let's be honest, one of their main things is they want the mayor to resign. That's never going to happen. The mayor is not going to resign at the pressure of a couple of marches. They want to call attention to economic disparities. They want to call attention to all sorts of things, gun violence. That's all well and good, and I'm for it. And will it be an inconvenience for people in that area? Sure it will. Unfortunately, that's what civil disobedience is. And this country is founded on civil disobedience. So I can't be a hypocrite and go, well, I'm going to enjoy the fruits of the people who were disobedient in the past, whether you go all the way back to the Revolution, whether you go to the Civil Rights Movement, any sort of union protests back in the day to make workplaces safer. I can't be a hypocrite and support those just because I wasn't driving on the Kennedy when any of those things happened. Just because I wasn't walking or driving on a bridge in Selma doesn't mean that I can support that civil disobedience, but can't support what's going on here. I know that is not a popular opinion. If you've listened to this station, if you've listened to most people, it's very hard for us to reconcile what's happened in the past with what could happen tomorrow. You know, the big thing I keep hearing, especially from young people, and Cody, I'm gonna lump you in with young people, even though you're getting a little long in the tooth to be called a young person. I know that's weighing heavily on you. I always like to watch him when I talk to him, try to figure out, depending on what studio we're in, what button he has to push. But young people say, well, you know, is anything going to change? You can have, what's the point of these marches? What's the point of protest? Nothing ever changes. My point would be, yeah, in the short term, nothing might change. Most change takes a long time. If you equate the world to a giant ship, or the country or the city to a giant ship, to turn a giant ship around takes a lot of time. Nothing, unless you're in a Fast and the Furious movie, nothing turns on a dime. Everything takes a while. Change takes a long time. But that's, you know, people in this day, we don't want anything that takes a long time. If I can't march and have the entire system fixed by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, what's the point? This makes no sense. Why are we even bothering? It's 3 days later and everything's not done. Oh, you're right. Then we shouldn't have tried at all. Did you figure out your button? Nope. That's not it.
Yeah, no. The problem is it's buttons.
Oh, there's a lot of buttons.
To get on air in here, I've got to hit, like, I literally have to hit like 7 buttons. Buttons.
All right.
The preferred nomenclature.
Is that right?
And that's the problem, Brian. As a youngster, as you've mentioned, I just want one button.
Well, I said a young person.
As
a youngster, you're not a child. You're not wearing short pants, and you're not dressed like Buster Brown in there.
I was dressed like Buster Brown. You made me put a shirt on.
Well, yeah, that was disconcerting.
Wow.
So you just want one button because that would make things easier.
Yeah,
Just like we don't want to spend a lot of time protesting when it might not do any good in the short term.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the way it is.
This is it. We'll see what happens. I'll be in for Ro and Anna tomorrow afternoon, so we will keep you updated about what's going on the Kennedy, whether the part of it is, too, and... I asked the Reverend about this. There doesn't seem to be an organized front with a lot of these protests. You had Father Flager do the March on the Ryan. You had Reverend Livingston and Teal Hardeman do the March on Lakeshore Drive. Now, Reverend Livingston and Teal Hardeman had a little disagreement about this march. They've since supposedly made up. Everything's good. But it's hard for a lot of people who aren't directly affected by what the marches are purported to want to fix. It's hard for us to get behind it when you go, there's so many different factions. Who are we supposed to follow? And the Reverend said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said, listen, any family, there's squabbles. Every family has disagreements, and that's what's going on here. Some people think one way to do things will work. Other people think other ways to do things will work. And so sometimes you have disagreements, but the end goal is all the same. And if you look back throughout history, that was the same thing. If you do any research on Martin Luther King, he was all about peaceful protest. Well, there were other factions of the civil rights movement that were like, listen, peaceful isn't going to get it done. We got to get things going. And Dr. King prevailed, and, progress is made. Is everything fixed? Of course not. But see, it takes a long time. Going back to my original point, you can't just hope that change will happen overnight. All right. Let's take a quick break, because then I'll put on my culture hat. Cody, is that all right if I put on my culture hat? You know, I've become quite the theater aficionado.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean I'm just a guy who goes to the theater and enjoys it. But I got to sit down with two of the stars of the upcoming musical, Tootsie. It's coming to town. Hopefully we'll get to go. You and I, sequin gowns, the whole nine.
Nice.
Put on our spats, our monocles, top hats, whatever we choose to wear when we go to the theater.
Nice.
And we like to dress up.
When you put on the theater hat in a couple of minutes, will you also put on some pants?
Nope, just the theater hat. Because I don't, as much as I love the theater, I don't like the restrictive space of the seats.
Mm.
So I need, much like an astronaut has cooling packs in his spacesuit, I use the no pants to get airflow, constant airflow. Keeps my core temperature down. That makes me happy. You know that about me.
Happiness.
If my core temp is low, then I'm good to go. That's actually going to be on our new billboard. Not for here. I don't know where we'll put a billboard. Hey, this week, the Chicago's Best team is bringing home some of your favorite summer foods, my friends. Ice cream, burgers, and more. Chicago's Best. It's tonight at 10 on WGN-TV. Let's do this. Then the regular guy will go to the theater on WGN. I sat down the other day with two of the stars of the upcoming pre-Broadway run of Tootsie, which will be at the Cadillac Palace Theater from September 11th through October 14th. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com to get your tickets. Tootsie, if you haven't seen the classic movie, well, this is similar, but of course, there's all kinds of new things. So I sat down with Santino Fontana, who you may know if you have kids who watched Frozen. He was the voice of Prince Hans in Frozen. He plays Michael Dorsey and Dorothy Michaels, and Lily Cooper plays his girlfriend, Julie Nichols. So here is my interview with them. All right, I've got Santino Fontana, who is playing Michael Dorsey and Dorothy Michaels, and Lily Cooper, who is Julie Nichols. All right, first of all, you guys are... Thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate it.
Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you. Very excited.
Have you worked here before?
I have, yeah. I actually did a Broadway in Chicago show 2 summers ago.
What one?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
At the Oriental Theater. So, I've worked in Chicago before. I fell in love with it. Lucky enough to only be here in the summer, though.
Yeah, and even this run is a nice... fall is probably the best time, so you're working out well. So let's start with that. Now you are preparing to play a real person as opposed to a cartoon
Very
squirrel.
True.
Is there a difference as you prepare your character to say, all right, now I have to be a human
Where before I was just a drawing.
An actor prepares. As an actor prepares. No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but one thing is that's similar is that you, it's a character that we know and love, and so it's something that we're sort of trying to emulate while also, you know, keeping our own sort of personality in it as well. So, yeah, it's a similar process, but definitely a different experience.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you too, Santino. You know, you're stepping into a role in an iconic film. How do you differentiate, or how do you draw that line between making it your own and kind of drawing comparisons to Dustin Hoffman's performance back in the movie?
Well, the good thing is I can really just stick to Robert Horn, the book writer. Our book writer has adapted basically stuff that we love from the movie, but also updated it. So there's a lot of great surprises in our show. And I just have to do, you know, I have to focus on that. So I saw the movie a couple years ago when Scott called me. I watched the movie just so I had a, you know, kind of a touchstone to it. And remembered why it's such a classic comedy. But after that, that was it. So I haven't gone back or, so any comparisons have been, I haven't really done any. I mean, I've been just focusing on what's in front of me, which is luckily the script that we have, which is great.
Is that a trick that you both use? You kind of touch on the original once just to see, all right, this is the tone of the original, and then you avoid it. How much SpongeBob did you watch in preparation?
Well, I was a big SpongeBob fan, so I did happen to watch a lot of SpongeBob. But no, I agree. I think that it's one of those things where you have to do your research and watch this source material. But I think if you're too attached to it, you never want to be mimicking a character or trying to emulate the same exact things that the original actor, actress has done, and you want to sort of make it your own. So I think it's important to separate yourself somewhat from the source material.
Why do you think these kind of shows, reboots of TV shows, they're so popular? Audiences love them. Is it the familiarity? Is it what do you think it is that makes these shows as big as they are?
I think it's all of those things. I think it's both. People love, there's a reason classics are classics. There's a reason we're still doing Shakespeare. There's a reason we're still, the reason so many things are repeat, and also there's like 7 original stories in the world, and then we just repeat them in different versions. I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, I mean, all the pants roles in Shakespeare of, you know, Viola playing a man, and all of those disguises where somebody has to put on a disguise to get ahead, Victor Victoria, or, I mean, there's a reason those great stories, when somebody's so desperate they're willing to do anything, that they'll go into a disguise, and that's what this story is, which is great and entertaining and something we all love
and are familiar with, and
yes.
and that's, I think, what's really lovely for theatergoers to watch something on stage that is familiar.
There's a lot of, in the film, there's a lot of plucking. Dustin Hoffman has a lot of plucking. How much tweezer work are you anticipating?
There's a lot. Well, there's a lot of waxing, there's a lot of shaving, there's a lot of makeup, there's a lot of it.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Have you performed in full?
No.
No, this is the first time?
Yeah. This is the first time. I mean, I played in college. I was in a play where I believe it was a Vietnamese storyteller, a woman, a female Vietnamese storyteller, which sounds offensive, but it wasn't. But other than that, no. This is my first time.
Are you giving Santino any tips on walking in heels, Lily? Is this something you're helping
with? I do remember one moment in rehearsal where I had to tell him that you don't have to pull the lipstick all the way out of the tube in order to put it on your face.
True.
So, yeah, you know, I'm throwing in a few tips here and there.
It's a learning curve, right?
My wife has a lot of things to say.
Does she?
Yes.
She helping you out?
Yeah.
Now, the core of the story of Tootsie is what would you do if you couldn't do what you're doing?
Yeah.
So I have to ask both of you, what would you do if for some unforeseen reason you couldn't do this?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of desperate, crazy things just as an actor, similar to what Michael Dorsey does. I went to an audition for like a Western, and I went to a shoe store, told them I was a shopper for a costume designer. I bought cowboy boots, and then I went and did the audition with the tags in the boots, and I went back and returned the cowboy boots and said, oh, they didn't fit on the actor. So I've done a lot of things. I've gone in with, you know, gone in acting as the person that I think they are going to hire. I think all actors kind of
do
that.
And instead of, you know, finding something else to do other than what we love and what we need to do, it's finding ways, no matter how crazy and insane, to do what we do. So no matter how impossible it is, finding that crazy ploy and, you know, way
around it. What's the craziest ploy you've ever had to...
Oh, goodness. I don't know.
Something that perhaps the statute of limitations has not run out of?
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't share.
Fair enough.
Public.
Now, you've both done, besides theater, a lot of TV and film work. What do you get from the theater that you don't get from the other avenues that you perform in?
Editing. You control your editing.
Yeah, you control your own
huge,
editing.
Which is huge. It's a big, big, big difference. I mean, being entrusted with not just playing a character, but being a part of the storytelling from beginning to end is a huge skill, and it's a huge responsibility, which is also really exciting. And then you're sharing all of that with a group of people who have the one, once-in-a-lifetime experience, all sharing that evening's event, which you just can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, having a live audience. I mean, we've been in rehearsals for about a month now and have done run-throughs of the show just with having our fellow actors and creative team as our audience members, and we've heard the jokes 20,000 times. They're still funny to us, but it'll be really wonderful to have our first audience to, you know, have their reactions and feed off of.
Are there still opening night jitters? As much work as you guys have done, you're in a new city, you're doing a show that nobody's seen before. Is there that sort of anxiety, or are you all pros and go, whatever?
I think it's more adrenaline than anxiety.
Yeah, more excitement.
Do you foresee now? We've had other shows where some of the people have the stars have shown up. Do you anticipate when you get to Broadway, Dustin Hoffman or Jessica Lange dropping by and critiquing you on your performances?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I haven't thought about it. It seems so far away. So, I don't know. I really haven't. I haven't thought about it at all.
What's the mentality of putting a show up in a city before, you know, the ultimate goal, you're going to Broadway very soon.
Yeah.
What do you focus on then for the weeks that you're here? Is it just fine-tuning? Is it what goes on?
Just making it better. Just keep making it better over and over and over again. And the information that we're going to get from the audience, which we've never had, is going to inform how we make it better. And that's what we're here for, just to make it better.
Have you done shows where you're pre-Broadway and all of a sudden it's like, things aren't... We have to reboot the whole thing.
I think that happens a lot. I haven't really experienced that, but I think that happens a lot. I've heard stories of shows completely transforming from their pre-Broadway tryouts to being on Broadway, and that's what's really great about the opportunity of being able to have a pre-Broadway tryout is finding out what works and what doesn't, and sometimes things don't work, and sometimes things do.
Yeah.
You're really finding that out with the audiences.
And Lily, you've worked here before. Is there a difference between the theater audiences in Chicago and New York? Of course not. You can say that we're better. But that's is there really a difference, or do people who love the theater just love the theater? It doesn't matter.
I think what's great about the theater audiences in Chicago, for, or at least from my experience, is that it feels very local and a tight-knit community of all of theater lovers, as opposed to New York, where it's, you know, people from all over the world, all over the country.
I'm sorry, a jet engine just started here.
You know, who are sort of experiencing theater for the first time. So I love the Chicago theater audiences because I feel like they're experienced and intelligent and clever.
Now, SpongeBob, you know, you're going to get a lot of kids in the audience. Do you anticipate a young audience for Tootsie? Do you anticipate an audience who were fans of the movie? Or do you guys both think it's going to bridge the gap between people who are fans of the original and people who are completely new to the project?
I think it's going to be everybody.
Yeah, I hope it runs the gamut.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, bad decisions are most of what we go to the theater to watch. And this is one of those. Someone makes a terrible decision based out of desperation, and everybody can, be excited to see what's going to happen. It's not just for one audience.
Right, it's a hilarious story with some amazing music, so who wouldn't want to come and see it?
I know I do.
Hey. Santino, before I let you go, my nieces would kill me if I did not ask you, can I have a little bit of Prince Hans?
Yes. See, that's the thing. It was 5 days.
It's great.
Yes, but those 5 days are going to last forever.
I love crazy. She said, I say that.
Okay. Yeah. I love crazy. Well, thank you both very much. Have a successful run. Break a leg in Chicago. We're glad you're here. And looking forward to seeing you in Switzerland.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, that is my interview with Santino Fontana and Lily Cooper. News time on WGN. I'll say the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. It is a little after 6, and I get to say to Minnie Pearl, a.k.a. Roger Badish, here's the news. Brian Noonan, 7:20 WGN. We're here till 7. This time, and then we'll see what's up. Roger, I mentioned Minnie Pearl before the news. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you, I know you've plastered this all over social media, and I'm not mm-hmm. making fun, but you're wearing a new hat, a new cap, a baseball-style chapeau, mm-hmm. and it has a tag hanging off it. Well, why? First of all, you can tell us the importance of the cap, which is why I'm not making fun of it. I'm just wondering why the tag.
No special reason. I thought the hat had not been delivered, even though I got an email saying it had been.
Okay.
And so I decided to check our mailroom here, the real mailroom.
We have many places where mail is delivered.
Yeah.
Our little part-timer's bus station cubicle area.
Mm-hmm. With lockers.
With lockers where I shower. I take mm-hmm. a hobo shower.
You're the one who doesn't clean up after yourself.
I do clean up after myself. I'm tidy.
Oh, well, the rug was a little...
Well, I can't... What am I going to... Wet dry?
Set it up on the side, let it dry a little bit instead of just on the floor.
Why do you have a tag hanging off your hat?
Well, I was so excited when I found the cap, the box it was delivered in, that I just left it on because I wanted to take a picture right away mm-hmm. to not only post it, but then to show the Team Megan Bug, which is where the hat is from, that it did arrive, and that I was so proud to have it that I just put it on with the tag.
It's a very fetching hat.
It
looks nice.
It's very nice, beautiful material.
I'm afraid you're going to... that the message of the hat uh-huh. will be overshadowed by the tag, because people will begin to question why there's a tag rather than, oh, what's the significance behind the hat?
Well, I wanted to leave the tag on because it gives detail about the hat. If you were to just see the hat by itself with the insignia on it.
So do you want people to walk up and read your head?
Yes, I want them to read the tag.
Okay. All right. Well, if you see Roger walking down the street, don't snatch the hat off his head, but walk up and stand there and force him to stand still while you read his hat.
Yeah, there's not much in the tag, but it's for childhood cancer awareness month.
Very nice.
And the company that makes this is Ivory Ella, and a young lady, Megan Bug, who doesn't live too far from Chicago, has been battling childhood cancer, and she designed of things that Ivory Ella offers, one of them being the hat.
Yeah.
And she designed this, and so the tag is from Ivory Ella, and they donate 10% of the profits, not only because Megan loves elephants.
Okay.
There's the elephant logo. Sure. They donate 10% of the profits to saving elephants.
Oh, nice.
So SaveTheElephants.org is a co-beneficiary of this campaign. So I've been in touch with her father. She has been a kid of the week on Steve Cochran Show twice.
Okay.
And she's trying to finish high school this coming year with her class. She's about 2-3 years behind because of her battle against childhood cancer.
Ivriella, if you're interested in helping out, you can go there. I just wondered what the tag was all about.
Yep.
All right, you missed the big open house on Wednesday. Cody and I were here representing the program.
I did hear your karaoke renditions.
Sure. Well, listen, if people haven't, you can go to Brian Noonan Show on Facebook. Watch not only Cody sing a song, but I sang a song. We were smart, though. Here's the thing. There are a lot of people showboating. Yeah. Roger, you know what mm-hmm. that is. Oh, they had to make sure that the room was full,
right.
And they had to have a lot of sycophants there. Everybody mm-hmm. was blowing smoke. Oh, not Cody and I.
No.
We waited till the room was empty, except for Jasmine, who was Bill and Wendy's producer, a wonderful producer. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of running the sound for the karaoke room.
Oh, okay.
And so we went in when there was nobody there. And Cody, I did my song, mm-hmm. and I think it. There was a photographer running around who was taking nice pictures of the event, and I think he got a picture. But we did it all ourselves. One, we're antisocial. Two, we don't need a crowd to tell us how fascinated we are.
Exactly.
We're fascinated.
Yes.
Plus, let's be honest. I'm not the greatest singer in the world. I would put myself on a list of 100 mm-hmm. great singers. If it was narrowed down to 100 great singers,
right.
And somehow I was on that list of 100 great
singers,
yeah. I would be 101.
Oh,
so I wouldn't even be on the list. But as I said to some people, there are two or three songs
mm-hmm.
that if I begin to sing them, rather than people putting an ice pick in their ear, they'll go, well, it'll be over in 2 minutes. We can sit through this
two and a half
minutes.
If you stay for the bridge.
Sure, if I do a little dance.
Yeah.
so you can suffer through a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Cody, on the other hand, decided he was going to do some Guns N' Roses.
He wailed.
And he picked what could have the only song he could have picked longer.
Yeah.
He could have done Freebird, Low Spark of High Heeled Boys, or just dance to Inagata DeVita. Because
that's a whole side right
that's
there.
That's a lot of. That's what I'm saying. The amount of time that Cody put into this performance. Now he's going to. Yes? Did you find the buttons to defend yourself? Yeah, it's not. You don't even have to defend yourself. It is a long song.
Yeah.
I have sung a lot of Guns N' Roses karaoke in my day.
I know you have.
And if you think Welcome to the Jungle is long, Sweet Child of Mine is at least 2 minutes longer.
Oh, really?
Paradise City is 3 minutes longer.
Well, there's a lot of instrumental breaks.
There are a lot of long instrumental breaks. And, I mean, good for Slash. But
yeah.
For karaoke, you got to be a showman to pull it off.
Right. And, well, in front of Jasmine and myself, you were quite the showman.
I was something.
You did fun. You know, it was fun. It was fun.
Well, I had a blast. I'm a feet off the room kind of person. And,
oh.
And when you're doing it in a mostly empty room that's adjacent to a room with about 100 people that don't want to acknowledge that you're there.
Right.
That's when it can get a little tricky. But I had a blast.
I think you did fine.
You carried it off very well.
Well, thank you.
Had I been there,
uh-huh.
instead of being with the grandkids, had I been there, I would have been your groupie.
Wow, that's probably more depressing than us singing in an empty room. That right? Wow, right there. That's That's what we missed out on, Cody. A lot of people, they're groupies, you know, attractive members of the opposite sex. You know, we would have gotten Roger.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, well, you know what? When you put it, yes, that sounds exactly right. It's befitting the 101st greatest singer on the list of 100 great singers.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, here's what happened to me, though. And I want to get your read on this. 312-981-7200. Was this person being caring,
mm-hmm.
nasty, or was I being hit on? So it's very, it was, they had a... There were people everywhere. It was quite well attended.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody looked nice. There was, you know, people were dressed up. Cody even put on a sport coat.
Ooh.
It was, yeah, oh, man, it was quite the deal.
And quarterly.
Over in our, you know, we have like 18 kitchens in this place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have more kitchens, I think, than Graceland. We have more kitchens than Graceland. I know
okay.
that.
We have two.
We have, well, there's two. That's Graceland had one kitchen.
There you go.
So we have two kitchens. By the smaller kitchen, that was where they had a bar set up. And people were, you know, partaking in, I'll say, copious amounts of alcohol. They
there
were imbibing.
There, of there, which there are still many left in the refrigerator.
Not so many now.
Oh,
but, you know.
Not when I leave tonight.
Yeah, now we're done. But, listen, if we can't do this show drunk... That we really shouldn't be in the business. Anyway, there was wine and beer, and it was fun. But it was the noise, just like any great party
mm-hmm.
that you throw at your home, most of the activity happens around the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because people want drinks. No, there were people everywhere. There were people watching Rokan broadcast, which was exciting. There were people in and out of the karaoke room. There were a lot of people in the green room where our DJ Cash Era, who is going to join us after 6:30, was spinning the steel wheels,
nice.
As they like to call the DJ business. And there's, you know, there's these little, what do we call them? Huddle rooms, little lounges, tiny rooms. All right, so I'm outside one of these lounges near the bar, and I'm talking to one of the fine sponsors here at WGN. You may have heard of him, David Hochberg.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm having a nice conversation with David about all sorts of things. About he's asking about Molly, and I'm talking to him. So we're having a nice conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this little room, there's three people. A couple and another young woman.
Okay.
And after David and I had been talking for a few minutes, they get up and they start to leave. And the young woman stops and says, "Has anyone ever told you that your voice is very loud?" And I was like,
"Whoa,
not really." I said, "But I am. You know, that's the first sign of hearing loss." I said, "Oh well, my hearing's pretty good. Plus." You know, I'm trying to have a conversation with my friend over the din of all this noise.
Yeah, it was very noisy.
Yes. You know. I work in the theater, so I'm used to projecting. Mm-hmm. I work here, so I project my voice quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and besides that, I want everyone to hear everything I say because I am fascinating.
That's true.
Which is true. And that's exactly what I said. And,
was there a huff?
God bless David Hochberg. He laughed uproariously when I said that. But the young woman, she was dead set. Well, you know, I understand that, but have you had your hearing tested lately? And I said, well, I've had my hearing tested, and it's fine. Oh, well, are you sure? I'm like, well, I'm hearing you now.
Yeah.
And so.
Above the din.
Well, I'm hearing you now, and it's aggravating me. So my hearing must be working. I didn't say that part because, I don't know, maybe she's, you know, maybe she's the owner's sister.
You never know.
You know, maybe she's Ms. Tribune Media. I don't know who she is. But I know. Then she gives me her card.
Ooh.
Yeah. And says, call me anytime. Because I do hearing, hearing tests.
Well, there you go. See?
So is she promotion? Is she drumming up business?
Yes.
Is she being rude?
No.
Is she I don't know. Plus, let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
In this building, in this business, everybody's loud. You've walked through this place. There's not a quiet, timid person in this building.
Nope.
That's right, Brian.
That's right, Cody.
You could not be more correct.
But it threw me. I was like, wow, I don't know how to take this. I'm not sure exactly what to
do. I have been told from time to time that my voice carries too much.
What's
without
too much?
Without the assistance of a microphone or a megaphone or a bullhorn.
I spent 20 years on stage doing stand-up.
You have to project.
I had to project. There were times I had to do shows without a microphone.
Mm.
I'm naturally loud. I have a large diaphragm that pushes much air over my voice, my vocal cords, and my larynx.
Mm-hmm.
And I mispronounced that on purpose, just so people would go, it's larynx, idiot!
Look at the face on
Cody. I don't know what's going on with Cody. If you're on WGNradio.com and you can explain to me what's going on with my producer, please, after all these years, please, someone explain to me. So I didn't know how to take that.
Yeah.
And then I threw her card out when I got home. I was like...
Did you even see what her title was or company? Or
audio something.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you wouldn't even hear her out.
Mm.
I did hear her out.
Well, yes.
And I did hear her out.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you stayed long enough to get the card.
I know I'm loud.
If you don't stay that long, you don't get a card. So
right. Yeah. So, you know, then I thought, well, maybe she's hitting on me. Because, of course, every guy, anytime somebody talks to you, they're hitting on you. That was not the case at all. but then I thought, well, did the three of them leave because I was loud? And I was like, the whole place is loud.
Yeah.
You know,
unless they had gone.
It's not like I'm standing in front of you. Now, you guys have both had conversations with me. It's not like when I'm standing talking to you, I'm so loud that your hair is blowing back or the tag on your hat is flapping in the breeze. None of that's happening when we have a conversation.
Well, I like to stay a safe distance back myself, but still, you're very quiet, except for emphasis.
I know when to be loud and when to be soft. I can go sotto voce if I have to.
Ooh, look at you, Mr. Opera.
That's what I do. I throw in a couple terms and people go, wow, somebody who's deaf would never say sotto voce. Because they say, why? I can't even hear your sotto voce.
I just had deja vu. I watched The Godfather Part 2 last night, and I feel like I'm right back there.
Did you?
Look at that.
Dropping some Italian.
I'll throw in some Italian. I'm going to have some rigatoni and a peroni. Peroni, a nice beer, nice Italian. We didn't have any Italian beer. That was a miscalculation. No, it wasn't. Because I think every event should have an Italian beer.
Can you name an Italian beer?
I just did. Peroni.
Besides that one,
Moretti.
Is that real? Yes. I don't have any idea if those are real.
Well, then
beers.
I could say any word that ends with a vowel.
You really could.
That's exactly right.
You really could.
No, Peroni and Moretti are both Italian beers, and they're both delicious.
Sam used to beers that are called like Fistmas. You know, things are a little less fancy.
All right, we got to take a break. Aggressive beer. I'll tell you about that after this. WGN. I'm going to whisper now, because I've been told my voice is very loud. How awful would it be if I just spoke calmly and in a whisper the entire show?
It'd be like a NPR,
like an NPR
show. Get really close to the mic.
Yes, Sunday afternoons. Hi, good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to the program. Today we're going to talk Tchaikovsky and architecture.
Wow.
Yes, the blending of classical music and steel girders. What makes Chicago a city of big shoulders? Pass. thank you. That drove me. That was almost as bad as when one of the former regime said I had to be angry the entire show. Be angry. Have hot takes. And that's when we were doing overnights. And I finished one show and I thought I was having a heart attack. It's like, no, we're not going to do that. So you mentioned aggressive sounding beers mm-hmm. right before we went to the break.
Huh.
So yesterday we had my wife and I, because we're empty nesters now, so we have to find things to do. Because sitting at home staring at each other, there'd be a homicide involved at some point. So, and, you know, it'd probably be me. It would be me getting killed. Because she would be fed up and just go, all right, this is it. And she'd strangle me with my own tag attached hat. But, and I keep giving Roger a hard time because I love him. And we're not, you know. We have to absorb all the time we have with Roger while we can.
We only have a few moments on a weekend.
Fewer and fewer. we went out to a County Line Orchard yesterday in Hobart, Indiana, to go apple picking.
Ooh.
Which we do every year. And every year. For the last like 3 or 4 years, we've gone. And it's a great place. If you've never been and you're looking for a place I know there's a lot of different places to pick apples, and we looked at a few others, but we decided to go back to where we've been before. I always go thinking, well, I've got to go get some apples because I love apples. And this was Honeycrisp time. And, you know, you go to Jewel or one of the, and Honeycrisps are like $4 a pound, something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't afford those kind of apples. What am I, made of money?
Yeah.
No. Okay, you know, I'm not at $4 a pound for apples. Forget about it.
Yeah.
But I'll go pick them off a tree for $1.79 a pound.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. And this was the first weekend they were open. So it was fantastic. It had rained all morning, so that thinned out the crowds. And we get there, and one of the fields way in the back of the orchard was where the Honeycrisps were. And it was pristine. There weren't apples on the ground yet because they were brand new. They hadn't started to fall off. There weren't people. It was like being in an apple paradise. The apple orchard of your dreams, where every tree is full of round, delicious apples. And so we get our apples. The problem is it doesn't stop with the apples. Because if you've ever been out there, they do donuts. They make pumpkin donuts and apple cinnamon spice donuts. Along with, of course, taffy apples and pies and everything else that is the complete opposite of, I'm going to be healthy and eat an apple. Then I'm going to eat 4 dozen donuts.
Now, did you do the donuts before you got the apples or apples first?
Well, that's an interesting question. And my answer to that would be both. Because we got there and we had to have, we had a donut and an apple cider just to steady us.
Okay.
Steal us for our adventure into the orchard.
Got it.
And then when we were done, we treated ourselves to another donut and cider because we had been such good pickers.
Mm-hmm.
And carried and
worked up an appetite.
Sure,
from all that.
Listen, carrying 13 pounds of apples from the back of the orchard back to the front. 13 pounds of apples.
Whoa.
You know how much we have left?
0.6 pounds.
That's what's left.
Wow.
We may end up going back out there. All right. On the other side of the new, so then we stopped at Three Floyds, the brewery in Munster, because I had never been there, and we were going to have a beer before we headed home, and it was very as Cody mentioned, it was very aggressive. A lot of heavy metal, a lot of tattoos, a lot of scary names for some of the beers. The beers were very good, I was terrified. I was too old and fragile to be in there. I needed to flee quickly.
What, the tricycles outside were scary?
There were no motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
It was just the searing death metal made me nervous.
Oh.
I thought I was having another heart attack. My heart seems very fragile, doesn't it? All of a sudden,
you're getting old, dude.
I should make light. Everything could give me a heart attack. Man, you know what it is? It's my loud voice. It scares me, which also gives me a heart attack. We've got to take a break. And that is Rogers News Time on WGN. We are awaiting one of WGN's own that is making a huge splash in a field that is somewhat related, but not necessarily related. Is that curious? Yeah. Does that make you curious? Does it make you say, "Gee, what's going on? I don't understand." I'm just waiting for Cody to dial her up.
Oh, okay.
He was busy.
She's been busy all day.
Well, she
right?
has, and he was fixated on your news. So he was listening to the news and the weather as getting ready, because people are we're having difficulties on the phone, but that's all right. So we will continue on and let Cody work on trying to get our guest. But you know, people are trying to make plans for tomorrow, the last day before CPS goes back. All the kids are back in school on Tuesday.
That's right.
Now that you've retired from the board, do you miss days like this where you would be getting ready for the first day of school? Because I know as a parent, you know this. As a former educator, you know this. It's nerve-wracking whether you're teaching or starting school.
Oh, sure.
You're going around these last couple days. You're making sure you have everything you need. You're making sure your lesson plans are ready. If you've got to have your notebooks and your school supplies, and figure out, am I walking? What am I taking for lunch? Do I have a lunchbox? It's a very stressful time. Do you miss it?
I miss a large part of it. The reason why I wanted to be a teacher, I miss tremendously.
And free school supplies?
Well, you know, a special discount.
Sure.
You know, to replenish. But seriously, interacting with the students and helping them grow and expand their world and their knowledge. And that part, I got excited as we got closer to the school year. I got very excited. I wanted to make the classroom experience as entertaining as possible. I would always decorate my classrooms. I would try to fix everything up and make
it conducive to learning. People don't understand who aren't in education. You know,
right.
Teachers have been in there for weeks getting their classroom ready. They've been going to meetings and in-services and all sorts of things. And then there's usually a week where the new teachers are coming in and trying to get accustomed to the district and all that kind of stuff. And I started back last week.
That's what I saw, yeah.
Man, oh man.
You have a good time?
First day I was back at the school that I was at all last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. I saw some of the kids that I had, and it was cool to see them. And I was at another school the other day that I had been at a lot. We're back in the swing trying to
that's good.
You know, mold the minds of the youth of America.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I do, Roger? I'm very loud. No, that's not true.
No, I learned well.
All right, so you have a naturally loud voice.
Right.
But I learned from a teacher last year who was naturally loud, too. You whisper.
Yeah.
So I try to go a little lower.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to talk over the kids, especially the little ones.
No,
they don't care. So I'm just going to go slow.
You know what you have to learn?
What?
And you
sign
may
language?
Have. No. Oh. You may have just to stop and stare.
Oh, I do. Oh, trust me.
You know that
I
trick?
Have, oh, yeah. I'll
oh,
just
yeah.
stand there.
Because the kids want to get you going.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Or, it's your lunch. I don't care.
Yeah.
I use that, too.
Oh, hey, really? I like that.
Yeah. Your lunch. I don't care.
You know what I used to tell them? It says, look, I already passed this class.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Right. I don't.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah. And then the kids who want to learn start shushing up the other kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's high school. Grade school, they're all like,
they keep it going.
No, most of them do, because there'll be a few that see that I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait, it got really quiet.
Yeah.
What happened to Mr. Noonan?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he have one of those heart attacks he's already predicting?
You checked it state songs.
Come to Florida and die.
We haven't done this in a while. All the good stories come from Florida. It's America's trailer park. You know that.
Woo! Uh-oh. Brian sees some blips on his Floridar. Get ready to go from classy to trashy. This is Florida News.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I just felt we needed a little Ric Flair in here. Roger, can you see Cody?
Yeah, he's kind of off the screen a bit, but he's busy on that phone. He's working the phones.
Well, we're having some troubles.
Uh-oh.
All right, Florida news. Here we go. Man enters Jacksonville store and chases people with a live alligator.
What?
Yep, that's a story you are only going to get out of Florida. Man chasing people at a Jacksonville convenience store wielding a live alligator, according to this Facebook video. The man yells, "Y'all ain't out of beer, are you? Is he taking the last bit of beer? You ain't taking the last bit of beer, are you?" He's asking a lot of questions.
Yeah,
from who's
just go get
alligator.
The beer.
Yeah, you put the gator down and get your beer. First Coast News reached out to the man who posted the video. He stated that it was all fun and games. Yeah, sure. It's all fun and games till somebody gets fed to a gator.
There you go.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
All fun and games till you go to the gator. The incident's currently under investigation, according to Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. They don't know. Nobody knows if what the man did was illegal. So I don't know if brandishing a gator is, whether it's concealed or not. If you're just, if you're swinging your gator around, and that's not a euphemism for anything. That's just fact right there.
If you got a gator, it's swinging itself. Well, the tail's swinging back and forth.
I'm going to have to take your word for it because, Roger, I have never handled a gator.
Well, neither have I, but I've seen enough gators, you know, out in the wild on videos.
How many gators have you encountered in the wild?
On video.
The wild of the north side. How many gators are running down your gangway on a regular basis?
Yeah, one or two that have been flushed down someone's toilet.
Oh, sure. Then they come back as like chud.
Yeah.
Some sort of big mutated gator. Big mutated gator was Cody's rap name.
Really?
Yeah. And
I did not know that.
You know who he used to have as his DJ back in the day? It was amazing. DJ Cash Era. She used to DJ for Cody back when he was Big Mutated Gator. Kasara Heining, you know her from WGN. She's a fine producer here. But if you are into the music scene, you know her as DJ Cash Era, and she just finished a set at the North Coast Music Festival. Cash, good to have you. How'd it go?
Hey, what's going on, Brian? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How'd North Coast treat you this afternoon?
It is fantastic. I've been finding all the free stuff. So I am definitely enjoying myself. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Is there a lot of swag? They're giving you a lot of swag over there?
Yeah. You know, Mike Card is giving out some stuff, Monaco Liquors, and then they got some lemonade stands and whatnot. I mean, it's a little bit of everything going on out here.
So now North Coast is a little different music festival. They do a lot of DJ stuff. How did you get selected to perform at North Coast?
Gotcha. I actually had to compete to perform at North Coast. So they did a Toast of the Coast competition, and I ended up, you know, entering the competition, and we had to submit work online and have our fans and, you know, supporters vote for us. And then they picked the top eight finalists to compete live in person. So I made it through to the second round, and I had to compete live at Chop Shop about 2 weeks ago. And during the competition, I ended up winning the entire thing. So I then was given my own hour slot here at North Coast. I performed earlier today at 2 o'clock on the North stage.
Very nice. And how'd the crowd respond?
Great. I actually was shocked. I didn't think anybody was going to be in here, but they opened the gates a little early. So I had a nice little crowd going. I had about 50 to 100 people. You know, it wasn't too bad. And, I mean, they were dancing the entire time. And then I brought out some performers with me as well to have them do some of their songs, too.
Very cool. Now, how'd you get involved? How'd you become, or how did your DJ career evolve? What got you started?
I actually took a random class when I was at Columbia. My freshman year, I needed to get one more class in to have credit hours to be considered full-time. And my college advisor was like, "Oh, take the DJ course. It's the easy A." And I was like, "Easy A, I'm there. Let's do it." So I took the class, and I did better than anyone expected. And my professor, you know, connected me to some people over at Young Chicago Authors, and I started DJing poetry bouts.
Oh, cool.
And then my career just started to evolve from there to where now I do poetry bouts. I've traveled to London earlier this year. This is, North Coast is my third music festival performing at technically this year. But yeah, I mean, I've done so many great things, and I'm forever grateful for all the opportunities that I've been given.
And for those who aren't familiar, you know, you go into a club or something and you hear music playing, and it's evolved over the years, but you don't put a lot of thought into it. What's the secret to being a good, successful DJ?
The secret to being a good DJ is to read your crowd. If you're playing songs that only you like to hear, and no one else knows what you're playing, no one's going to care what you're doing. Then you also just have to, you know, like, read the audience, you know, see their mood. If I walk into a place and everyone seems very, you know, chilled out and, you know, not doing too much, I'm not going to get on and start playing very hyper hip-hop or pop music. You know, I'm going to try to play, like, R&B, neo-soul, just to match the energy. And then, you know, if I feel like I can try to contort the energy and make it move in my favor, then I slowly ease my way into it. That and then your technique. You know, if you don't transition well from song to song and you just play the song whenever you want to, it's not going to sound that great. People like stuff that sounds good and congruent as well.
Yeah, and it's and you create a vibe and a groove throughout where there's not the big... You don't really tell that one song is ending and another, you know, another is beginning. Now, back when I used to, when I was a bouncer in a club, the DJs were all into, you know, scratching and sampling. And is that still part of the game?
Very much so. That is a heavy part of the game. But I mean, now you kind of have it where DJs are also producers.
Right.
Where, like, they'll take a song and then completely remix it on their own. That's not my thing. I'm not that great at it. But I have amazing friends that are good at it, so then I just use their tracks and give them credit for it. But yeah, manipulating a song, you know, and making it mixed over differently is a huge part of DJing, and it really adds a special dynamic to your set as well. But the scratching is definitely in an entire caliber of its own, and I feel like scratching is just an amazing art form just to even watch. Because,
yeah.
I mean, just to even... You know, imagine, the thing with DJing is they have two pieces of audio playing at the same time,
mm-hmm.
where they hear one half in their ear and the other half throughout a speaker. Just being able to see them scratch back and forth and what they're able to create as a new song in, you know, in real time and live in front of your face is amazing. My scratching skills, I'm still working on them, and I have so much respect for people that have mastered it or that even have it more down than what I do thus far.
Does the new technology make it easier for you and for modern DJs as opposed to guys who are still, you know, they're still carrying crates of albums and they've got two or three, you know, two turntables in front of them?
Yes, absolutely. It's made it easier, and it's also made it less weightlifting because, I mean, you know, when you have to bring turntables and mixers and everything, that's a lot of heavy weight
right.
that you have to bring around with you, and that equipment is very expensive. But, I mean, the technology that we use now is just a laptop and a controller or something of the similar, and all your music is in your laptop, and it'll tell you everything you need to know. You'll know how fast it goes, when the song ends, where it starts. You're not, you know, searching with the needle or anything. And then it's not nearly as expensive, nor anywhere near as heavy to lift either.
So it makes it a little more, a little easier for people to get into it or to at least try to see if it's something that they're really interested in.
Exactly. I mean, they have it now where you can even just DJ out of your laptop, where your laptop will just recreate turntables in it on its own. And then you can just play out of your laptop, plug an aux cord in, and now you're your own DJ as well.
Very well. We don't want too many people doing that because we want them hiring you and
exactly.
getting you out there in front of more people. Well, congratulations on North Coast. People can go to your website, djcashera.com, and find
yes.
out all about what's next on the what's next.
That's a good question. I have some events coming up later on during the week. They're more so private events.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think, like, what's my next open to the public event? I think my next major event that I'm really, you know, putting advertisement out for is spinning at Ace Hotel next month in October, the very last Friday in October. So it'll be a great
very
way
cool.
to kick off Halloween weekend.
Very nice. And you were the DJ at our big open house the other day. You did a heck of a job. It was fun.
Yes, I had a great time. It was absolutely amazing.
So we got to see you there. Well, congratulations again on North Coast and for winning the competitions to earn your spot there. That's very cool. Someday we'll be able to say we knew you when.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was great. I'm still in shock that I even got to perform at North Coast
today.
That's
very cool.
Feels very, very surreal.
Well, congratulations. Go get some more free stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Brian. Have a good night.
You too. That's Kasara Heining. You may know her as DJ Cash Era. She was just at North Coast performing this afternoon. So very, very cool. One of our own out amongst the people. Last time I remember something about North Coast was you were there, weren't you, Cody? Isn't that where you called? You were all lit up, as the kids like to say?
I was having a good time when I checked in.
Yeah, you checked in.
I was lighting up. Not like that.
I don't know how many years ago that was. That was a few years ago.
That was 2014.
Really?
Yeah.
It's back in his youth.
Yeah.
Because it's the last music, because it was the last time I went. And it's the last time I went.
Is that right?
I got a poster on my wall. That's how I know. And I know it's the year I met my wife. So
wow.
Yeah.
I know Jamiroquai is playing there tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still around?
I think it's a group. I don't know if it's one guy. I'm not sure.
I remember it when I was teaching at Evanston back in late 90s.
All I know about Jamiroquai is there's a big fuzzy hat involved. I'm not sure if that's still part of the thing. But now, all right, so I looked at it. I went, well, Jamiroquai is at North Coast. Not my speed. Hey, look, Cheap Trick is playing in Naperville. That's more my you know, cup of tea. Go see a little Cheap Trick, but I'm here, so I get nothing. Hmm. You know what I get? I get to cry on my way home. That's all.
Maybe Cody can pull out a little Cheap Trick to play as the next bumper.
Well, maybe Cody will sing.
Ooh.
All right, let's do this. We'll finish up Florida News. We'll start wrapping up and getting out of Karen Conti's way. We don't get to say this much, but Karen Conti is here. She's got her show coming up in just a few minutes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm well. Have you been enjoying your Labor Day weekend?
I have. It kind of gets divided up when you have a Sunday show.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so good.
Did you take over? You got rid of all the lawyering? Did you get your lawyering done before you?
I sure did.
So you could relax a little bit?
I did. And tomorrow is going to be just an easy day, although with all of this stuff that's going to happen at O'Hare, these protests and the like, I feel like just getting out of the city and not being anywhere near the crazy.
Well, as long as you don't go up in that from Cumberland to East River Road and stay there, you might be all right. Let me ask you your thoughts on this, because now we're getting in. The holiday's going to be over, and Washington is going to be back to business. And the hearings are going to start on the Supreme Court nominee, and Senator Durbin is saying no. What do you think legally with everything that's going on? Where do you stand? Should we continue with the process? Should the process be put on hold until everything else is kind of fixed or figured out? Where do you think this should go?
This is all about politics now. It used to not be. We used to actually have nominees that were regarded for their prowess or their accomplishments. And so the idea that we're going to, I mean, whatever we do, it's going to be a political vote straight down the party line, probably.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, and it's really a shame, because we do need people who are good and smart and not people based upon politics. But, you know, I don't have any confidence that we're going to really give a really good look at these people other than, is he conservative or is he liberal?
Yeah, and they're saying that started, Ted Kennedy started that years ago, kind of making it a more partisan argument for the Supreme Court. And you can't, you can't really argue that in the end it won't be to a certain extent, only because a justice comes at things with, while they're looking at it from the main point of the law, they do bring a little of their own bias in, and some of their rulings based on
can
look either way.
You can't be human and not bring who you are.
Right.
Ruth Ginsburg, obviously, because she's a woman and where she came from, obviously takes things different than other people. Being from a disadvantaged background versus a privileged background. But on the other hand, on every single issue, the judges have to look at the law and the precedent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can't just say, I want to rule this way and then justify it. They've got to follow what the law has said in the past. And so, you know, although there is prejudice and there is, you know, some people come down in a more conservative way, basically they are bound to follow the rule of law.
Have you been following this story about Jason Van Dyke and the judge maybe holding him in contempt
and
putting him in jail because he gave an interview? Now, his lawyer is saying, well, what he said in this interview did not violate the gag order that was put on by the judge. But I guess this judge is known for being very
controlling.
Hardcore and saying this is It's my way or the highway, basically.
Actually, I'm going to be talking about that in my show.
Good.
And I have a retired criminal court judge who presided over the Duwalibi case. And if some of your listeners are old enough, they'll remember that is a very high-profile case. I read the gag order, and I watched the interview, and it seems to me he violated it. Now, the judge, is the judge going to throw Van Dyke in jail before his trial? That would make it very difficult for him to prepare with his lawyer, because going to the prison and preparing your trial is very, very difficult because you've got to be bound by their rules. You know, my prediction is he's going to find the judge, find the lawyer.
Ah, very good.
Monetarily, maybe after the trial is over.
Ah, all right. Well, you'll be covering this in more detail on your show. What else are you talking about?
And then we have Laura Scarry, who is a person who represents police officers. This is what she does. So we're going to be talking about jury selection, what comes in, what doesn't come in. Will commendations for the police officer come in? Will Laquan McDonald's troubled background come in? Should it come in? And basically, what kind of jury do you look for in a case like this?
Oh, sounds very interesting. We will be listening. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Brian.
No, we won't see you next week. Sports. Lots of sports.
All the sports going on.
We'll see you one of these days.
All right, take care.
Karen Conti coming your way on the other side of the news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable. I'm going to say thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the show, because we're not here next week, right? Yeah, we're not here next week. Something is bumping us off sports-wise. We'll talk to you soon. Again, watch the Facebook page, Brian Noonan Show on Facebook, and you'll get updated on everything that's going on, okay? We always appreciate you listening. We always appreciate you being part of the program, and that's that. I was maudlin for having 1 week off. All of a sudden, I made it like a big farewell. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn and listen. The machines will do everything else. From here on out, they will control your lives. It is 7 o'clock.